Okay.
Let's do introductions.
So I'll have Maria Antonietta, the director of the program there, introduce herself when she gets in here.
But that's what she looks like. She's awesome.
I'm Sarah Cooper-Lacerdo. I'll respond to either last name. I don't care. And Ryan, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Ryan Melendez, senior here at BU, and I did the Tropical Ecology Program last spring.
Mm-hmm.
So a year from when you guys fell.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's go around and introduce yourselves. So I don't know, name, major, I guess, class year, what you're most excited about in Quito, what you're most nervous about going to Quito.
I'll go first. I'm ready.
Okay.
My name is Amy. I'm a junior. I'm majoring in Earth and Environmental Science.
As we now know, yeah.
I'm very excited about everything, but I'm also very nervous about everything, and I have a lot of questions.
Good. Hopefully we'll get to all of them.
I'm Rebecca. I'm a junior, and I'm an environmental science major. I am excited. Oh, boy. I heard the food is really good, so I'm excited for food.
Yeah.
And I'm also, like, super excited about the Galapagos. I am nervous about the language barrier and just, like, the adjustment that it's going to take. From what I was reading on the hub page about just like being a woman in a developing country is sometimes different than being a woman here.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. That's something.
I'm Rika. I'm also a junior. I'm a biology major with specialization in behavioral biology. I'm also really excited about the Galapagos and the coastal ecology class. And I don't know what I'm nervous about.
Good. Even better. Either everything or nothing, then.
Or in between. I'm Austin. My major is biology, specialization in ecology and conservation bio. Most excited about, definitely getting to go to the Galapagos and the Amazon. I'm all excited. And all the field research I'm super excited about. Most nervous for definitely language barrier. And getting all the things done beforehand I have to get done.
I got you. We're going to talk about those things.
Yeah, I'm Monica. I'm a junior in biology major. I'm excited for the Galapagos, and I'm also really excited for the home states.
Hey, come on in.
Hi, no. She went to say hello to his classmates, but.
Hi.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello,
Austin.
Hello.
Cool. That's okay. Yeah, keep on going. It's all right.
I'm Carlos. I'm also a junior, bio major.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing this? Because I'm excited to practice my Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, you do yourself as a pre-med. Why are you doing that to yourself?
I'm nervous about Sneeko, kind of.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, that's better.
Cool. Okay.
You haven't had a Sneeko problem.
No. We'll get there anyway.
You survived.
So we're basically going to talk about all of the things that you guys brought up. So like I said, ask questions if I'm not covering something that you want to know, because it's probably going to be helpful for everybody. All right, just so you guys know, so there's 9 of you going. You're all from BU, which is exciting, but you're going to be with 8 Latin American Studies students. 6 of them are from BU and 2 are from Cornell, so that'll be exciting. You'll do a lot of stuff with them, but they won't do, well, they'll travel as well, but not at the same pace and rate as you guys will too. So you'll see them, but not constantly. Yeah. There's 6 men going to Quito, which is like a crazy ratio. Go men. So yeah, there's that. Have any of you watched the pre-departure roadmap yet?
Yeah, I did.
Parts of it.
Okay, parts of it. That's fair enough. So there's stuff in there that I'm just not going to cover in this for the sake of time and expediency. But please do watch that. I would recommend at least a little while before you leave campus, because it does go over some stuff you might want to consider that are easier to handle here. You also have to listen to my voice partially there, too. Sorry. So I want to talk about visas first. So those are hypothetically due on Monday. It'd be great if you could get them all in on Monday for a few reasons. So let me go over these a little bit, and then if you have questions, let me know. The fee is officially $250 total. I sent you all a new form you need to fill out in lieu of the one that says $450 on it. But everything else remains the same. There's not a ton of forms you fill out, but you do need to turn in everything else. Everyone always has questions about the shipping label. So when you turn things in to me, you need to have, you can put all your stuff in that envelope, but don't seal it, please. That's the envelope that's going to send your passport and the letters back to you wherever it is you're going to be living. It usually takes her between 2 and 4 weeks at the consulate to process the applications. So wherever you're going to be about, I would say, 4 weeks after Monday is where you want to send your passport and address that shipping label to.
So that was one of my questions on the website. It says where you're going to be July 1st.
Oh, sorry.
That's
just really me being a...
Like, are they going to hold my passport?
No. I'm sorry about that. That's
okay.
Just me
no
not...
No problem.
Because I wrote it in July, my guess is... wrote July, so no, I'm sorry. It's 4 weeks after Monday, so
okay.
Where you're going to be sort
Much
of mid-December, whether that's here or home. It should be an overnight shipping label. You should be using UPS, FedEx, or the Postal Service, but if you use the U.S. Postal Service, make sure you pay for a tracking number, and please, for the love of God, write down the tracking number somewhere so you can track your package when it's sent. If you turn in everything, you shouldn't have an issue getting the visa. I'm going to look everything over and I'll let you know if there are any mistakes or if you need to provide anything different. The payment has to be in money order form. Does everyone know what a money order is? Yes? Oh, that's so many nods.
Use it for Corey,
right?
Yeah.
Yep, and you have to use it for the Corey as well. Does everyone have their Corey results back?
Yes.
Yes? No?
No.
Have you sent it out yet?
Yes.
Okay. How long ago would you say?
Like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Mine took about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
so
they usually take between 2 and 3. So you won't, if you don't have it back, you won't be able to apply with the group. You'll just need to do it on your own, which is fine. Just let me know and I can give you your packet of letters that comes from the USFQ and from me. And then you can just do the same exact process, but you'll just do it yourself.
So
it's pretty easy. It's just easier if I do it because I look everything over. I can still do that for you. You'll just have to come in with your stuff and we can take a look.
Another one of my questions was on the embassy website, there was a whole other list of documents that
you
wasn't
don't need
on the
them.
Hub. Is that stuff that you do and then you send
so
that
I,
in, like, what we give you?
I do add some things. I add letters from the USFQ, 4 of them, a letter from me, affidavit of health insurance, and a bunch of other paperwork the USFQ or the consulate likes to see from the USFQ.
Yeah.
So I'm going to add in all of that.
Okay.
If there's other documents beyond that, don't worry about it. All that you need to provide is what's on the hub page.
Perfect.
I've double checked it with the consulate a few times. She's great. Her name is Beatrice Stein. The other major questions I get are about the cover sheet. Literally all it needs is your full name, your email, your cell phone number, and how best to contact you if there's an issue. It'd be nice to have your address on it as well. But that's all it needs, okay? Does anyone else have questions about the visa? I'll be in touch with you. The due date is Monday. I am out on Monday. I have class all day. So I will be coming in Tuesday morning and looking them all over. What it means on Monday is that I'm not going to be here to go over your stuff with you. Even if I were here, I still wouldn't do that. It's just doubling up efforts. I'm going to look everything over super carefully, and I will get back to you if there's anything you need to do.
Is there a place we can leave them on Monday? Or
yep, you just need to come in and drop them off at the front desk.
Okay.
They know what to do with everything. They are also maybe not the best people to ask all of your visa questions to, so if you have them, collect all your questions and send me an email, okay? I am an expert in this, they're not. There's no way they could know like every country's visa process by heart. So it's, I can tell you, compared to other visa processes, this one's pretty straightforward and easy. You guys shouldn't have any issues with it. There are sample forms for everything, and you'll get a visa for a year. It'll be great. When you do get your stuff back, you're going to get your passport with the visa sticker inside of it, and you're going to get some letters and forms back as well. Keep all of it and bring all of it with you to Ecuador. If you're sending it back home to your parents, please tell your parents to put it somewhere safe that they remember and not to throw anything away. Occasionally that happens and it's always sad. So give him a heads up. All right. Flights. How many people are taking the group flight? Cool. Is anyone taking the group flight but they didn't sign up with the group flight? No?
I got I don't know who it was some lady. What's her name? Like Susan.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You
worked with her though?
I took a flight out of Boston though.
Okay, that's fine. Are you connecting with this one?
Yeah, I think so.
Sweet. Okay. In any event, so your flights are included. If you just booked the group flight, you went online, you booked it, there's no cost to you because it's included. If you deviated from the group flight somehow, like maybe you have, typically what happens is you pay for the whole thing up front and you're owed a credit for the cost of the group flight. Everyone, regardless of how you booked your flight, needs to input the details of your flight into the BU International Travel Registry. It's new, it's required for everybody. If you don't do it, I will have to mercilessly hunt you down, and I really don't want to do that, so please just input your flight details. It'll take you 2 seconds. And from there, I'll figure out flight credits and things like that if there's something you're owed. And I'll be able to ask any questions. I'll send everything to Maria Antonietta, and she'll be there with bells on to pick you up at the airport.
From you or through Sarah, I will start sending messages to you when you are arriving. Because what I usually do is I go to the airport, we rent a bus, and I pick you up, an entire group, and take you back to Quito because it's an hour away. But if I don't know, I don't know.
When you're on your own.
Yes, you are on your own.
It's a long enough ride and you guys will be tired enough where it's worth trying to get there to all go back to Quito as a group. You'll, once you're there, meet up with your host families. They'll take you back to their houses. You'll be really exhausted and you'll probably just pass out, which is ideal. Let's see if anything else. Does anyone have questions about the flight? I don't want to be pedantic and go over it for no reason. Yeah?
What did you say we had to enter the flight information into where?
The BU International Travel Registry, it's linked on your hub page both under flights and under its own little drop down in phase 2. Hopefully it's easy to navigate. If you have issues with it, let me know, just because it's the first time we're using it. Yeah, that's it. Flight will be easy. It's JetBlue. It'll be a nice flight. You'll be fine. Okay, before I go over academics, did everyone register for their classes today at the USFQ?
No.
No.
No, none of you.
Mine says it doesn't start until Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Good.
My thing is
okay,
wrong.
It may be a different timing for the TEP students.
Yeah.
So for everyone else at the USFQ, registration was today, which is why your hub page is also going to list that. If it's Wednesday and you're following the emails, did you all receive emails from Veronica Costello about registering?
Yeah.
I was a little confused about the list of classes, but we just register for the ones that are on the hub page, right? The four ecology ones?
Yep. You only need to register for the four ecology ones, and you'll also register for a Spanish class, but you have to take the placement exam. Send your score to Maria Antonietta. And she'll let you know which Spanish class to register for.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ought to take the Spanish placement test.
Yeah, has everyone done that?
I still haven't.
No? Please?
I didn't know we had to send it to her.
Yeah,
so
we did.
Sorry, it's in there, but it's a lot of stuff to go through. So yes, please take that placement exam. You need it. The university really needs it, even though your classes are going to be in English. And
because you are going to take a Spanish class for five weeks.
Yep.
And then there's two options, the advanced or the intermediate. I need to know your grade to see what class you have to register.
Exactly. When your registration happens on Wednesday, I will conveniently also be out of town at a conference in California, which means I'll be looking at my email, but not as frequently as I do here, like the crazy person that I am. So if you have any issues with your registration, you should be in touch with Veronica. One, because she actually administers the site you register on, and I do not. And two, because she's just going to be able to help you a lot better than I am. So if you have questions rolling up to that, though, or you think that you don't have the things you need to register, that's what you should let me know, and I can work with her to make sure that you get what you need to take care of that. But otherwise, you're just registering for those four classes. Okay.
You have all the information there, right?
Yeah, I have it all on the hub page, and then she emails each student with information. So you should be covered, but if for some reason you feel like you've missed something or whatever, let me know, and I can help settle you down. Okay, so assuming all of that goes great, you arrive in Quito, you'll be studying at the USFQ, the Universidad San Francisco de Quito, while you're in Quito and not out on field work. Your faculty member and fearless leader is going to be Kelly Swing. Do you guys know anything about him already? Cool. He is really super great. He's American. He's lived in Quito for like 30 years, 25 years, something crazy like that.
You probably know more than
I think it's like, yeah, like 20.
I think it's over 20 years now. Yeah. So he's probably
like
as Ecuadorian.
22nd year, I think.
Yeah. As he is American, which is great. He's a faculty member there, and he'll travel with you everywhere. And he's just super, super passionate and into the program, and gets along well with everybody, and he's great. So there'll also be a TF there from usually the USFQ, and then there also, I think, is a teaching assistant coming from Boston this year as well. I don't know much about her yet, but I know that she'll be there. So get excited. More info to come. You'll start in Quito, you'll start your classes there, you'll take your Spanish class for the first 5 weeks. That's also when you'll start the montane ecology piece, and you'll take some weekend and day trips up into the mountains and cloud forest and things like that, and sort of explore that. After that, you'll do the coastal piece and the Galapagos. You'll live for some of that time on a boat, which is totally awesome. And then, again, you'll be back and forth from Quito there, and then you'll spend the month at the Tiputini Biodiversity Station before you come back to Quito for the last time. So it'll be great. There's a lot of fieldwork components. You're all going to be taking 18 credits. You all have to take the 18 credits. Hopefully that's not anything crazy. Just cutting off the bottom of this. But if you, for some reason, haven't looked at the syllabi and course descriptions, or if you need more info, they're all going to be posted on our website, so you can check them out there. Any questions about classes and stuff? No? Awesome. Ryan, do you want to talk about the classes a little bit? Just because they're different than normal.
Yeah, they're definitely different than normal. If you guys have any questions about any specific courses or any specific questions about the classes at all, you can ask me afterwards. I'll kind of be sticking around. But kind of a general overview. It's really nice, one, because the classes work consecutively. You're only having to focus on one thing at a time, which is great for GPA. You know, it's great for, like, doing well in the class, but it's also good for actually really getting into, like, delving in and focusing. In each different course, you're going to have an opportunity to be doing some field research projects. Mm-hmm. And in each of those projects, it's really, Kelly gives you a chance to really do whatever you want to do with that. He kind of gives you free range, and he'll help you, and the TF will be able to help you kind of in the steps along the way in those research projects. But he really gives you free range to kind of do what really interests you, which is really great too, so you get to delve in and focus really intently on one or two or three projects in each different course, which is really exciting.
I want to bring up too, hopefully you guys have seen that by December 1st you need to submit a swim test, but also a research project. So the research project that you need to submit, you send to me along with 10 articles in PDF form about them, and you do that for two reasons. One is to kind of give you a head start on what you may want to research, typically while you're in Tiputini, but it also gives you those 10 articles as resources when you're there. There's not internet access, so you want to at least have this base of knowledge that you can get from here, and then there'll be some other stuff in their library as well. And then I'll send those to Chris Schneider here to vet those projects before you go. So in case there's anything he's like, have you considered this or this, he can get back to you and you can tweak those. Eventually, I'll send them all to Kelly. So by December 1st would be great, just so that we give the faculty enough time to take a look over them. It can be whatever you want. There's really no limitations, so give it some thought ahead of time. The swim test is so that you guys can go snorkeling while you're in the Galapagos, which you will totally want to do unless you're afraid of fish like me. Guessing you're not. And basically, the only caveats to I have for you not to take a swim test is if you're already scuba certified. I just need to see your ID. That exempts you from the thing. Otherwise, the swim test you can take is at FitRec. You can go at any time that there's open pool hours and there's not like a class or something and there are practice. You just need to go up to a lifeguard, say you need to take a swim test. They'll tell you exactly what you need to do. It will not take you that long. It's a number of laps, treading water for a certain amount of time, a couple stroke things, and you're fine. And then they'll give you a little card. you need to either take a picture of that card or scan that to me, and I need to send that to Kelly.
If I am a lifeguard, do I still need to take the swim test?
No, do you have some sort of something saying you're a lifeguard? That'll do.
Can I email that to you?
Yep.
Great.
As far as the research project goes, is it just compiling the 10 papers, or are we writing something on them as well?
You just need to write a proposal.
Oh, okay.
So like a little tiny prospectus on what you want to do, and then the 10 articles along with that.
And if you guys have any questions, like want any perspective on former projects that were done or anything, I can you know, tell some of mine and some of other ones that were done in the class that I people did as well.
If you want even more guidance than that too, you guys are always welcome to reach out to Chris Schneider. And, you know, he's seen I don't know how many years of these, so he's a really good resource for some interesting projects. And he always, like, every time I have an info session, he's like, oh, yeah, has anyone considered researching armadillos in this situation? And everyone's like, no, I really haven't considered armadillos. So talk to him, too, if you want some kind of novel ideas, too. He thinks about those things a lot. The one thing I'll ask is please don't send any articles that are just the links to the articles. They really need to be in PDF form so that they can exist at the biodiversity station. So I want to talk for a second about academic culture. I mean, in some ways, I mean, the teaching style and things are going to be different. Kelly's American, so it's not going to be super different in that sense, but the sort of block nature of it's different, and the fact that you guys are with each other almost all the time is going to be really different from what you're used to here, too. So, you know, be patient with one another. And then, you know, the independent research piece is also probably going to be different than what you're used to. On the whole, though, people do really, really well in TEP, so I wouldn't stress about that too much, but just make sure you're bringing whatever study habits you have here. A big difference, though, is if you're used to doing things like studying in a library all the time, you're just going to have less access to those things, especially because you're traveling, so you might need to just change some of your study habits a little bit and be flexible about what you do have. When you're in Quito and at the USFQ, you do have access to all of their libraries and campus stuff, so you'll be fine there.
Oops, can I say something funny?
Yeah.
Our library at USFQ is nice. It's small compared to what you have here, but it's like a cocktail party. So if you really like to concentrate and study something...
And have quiet.
It's not the place to go. Did you try it or not?
I walk into the library and never have to study there. But, yeah, I like, there's like a little, like plaza out in there, and it's a nice place to study as well. It's kind of a nice, like, open green space as well. There's a pond. I like to do my work out there.
New green space, new market spaces, green there.
Yeah.
How big is the school?
Student-wise, or?
Yeah.
Geographic West?
6,000.
Yeah, 6,000. So it's about the undergraduate, a little less than the undergraduate population here now. Your textbooks. You are included in your program fee for some reason, which I guess is great for you. I just placed the order for them today with the BU bookstore. When they're all in, you guys will hear from me and you will go and pick up your books hopefully before the semester ends, fingers crossed. If they come in after the semester ends, you'll just need to work with the bookstore and pay for them to be shipped to wherever you live. Because while we pay for your books, we do not pay for the shipping. But yeah, all your books will be there. The only thing that stinks about that is that you have to lug them in your suitcase down to Ecuador. But they're kind of heavy, but you'll figure it out.
But I hope they get here on time because
they usually do. Yeah. No, to their home addresses over intercession. It's happened, but it's better if you can pick them up here. And hopefully you'll be able to. It's still pretty early, and they're pretty good about ordering them, so... We'll see how it goes. Just a few academic policy things. You're still subject to the BU Academic Code of Conduct and, of course, the USFQ Academic Code of Conduct as well. The general rule is if it's not going to fly here, it's not going to fly there. Don't do anything dumb. There is no pass-fail, there is no auditing, and there is no incomplete grades, especially with TEP because so much of the work is based in the field. You really need to finish all of your work while you're there. It's nearly impossible to finish things coming back here. So just don't plan on that being a possibility. If you don't complete it all, an F technically could be assigned. You won't have any issues completing your work, but just FYI. Attendance is going to be different than it is here, again, due to the sort of condensed nature of every single class. There's you're going to be traveling so much anyway, but personal travel just can't conflict with class or any related travel. Everyone good on that? Awesome. Is there anything else about the classes you want to discuss? Think it's important? I think you're all going to be fine.
But. Yeah, not that I can think of right now.
Cool. All right. Chime in if there's anything that comes up.
Sure.
All right. Let's talk about money, the most fun of all. Is everyone basically familiar with this budget sheet? You've all seen this. Okay. If not, it's on the program page, not the hub page, but the actual like program description page on our website. I would highly recommend taking a look at it and getting familiar with it. Because the cost for the semester is different than what would normally be charged to your BU student account. That being said, the payment and how charges work with financial aid and everything is the same. If you receive BU financial aid, it will travel with you. But again, because the amount of the semester is different and I can't see your financial aid package, I'd really recommend talking with the financial aid office so that there's no surprises about how that goes down. I can tell you right now that the things that never really transfer to a study abroad program are work study, if you have that, and I think that's for obvious reasons. And the Charles River Housing Grant does not either, because it stipulates that you must physically live on the Charles River campus, which you again obviously will not be doing. But everything else basically transfers over. Again, there might be tweaks here and there based on whatever you have, so it's always a good idea to check with the financial aid office. You do all have an advisor there. You don't know them, but they know you, so you can definitely call and they'll make you an appointment or whatever with that person. Yeah.
I have a question about the housing costs, because you said something about that the payment for living on campus at BU won't be taken off until you officially check out.
That's true.
But then they also said that you could push off not paying when you actually pay your bill, because you're going to be paying your bill before you move off campus.
So what you do there, and you can just confirm this with the housing office, so because those charges are going to stay there for the next semester, you just don't pay whatever that charge is, because it's going to disappear when you check out of BU housing.
So can you just like put in a number that subtracts?
Yeah, put in whatever you owe minus.
Okay.
You just need to subtract whatever that chunk is for on-campus housing.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
You
just subtract whatever that charge is there. So when you take a look at your student account inquiry, there's going to be a line item for it. Just don't pay that amount.
Okay.
Because it's going to be subtracted anyway.
Okay.
Do you know when the charge is going to show up for next semester? Because I know
that
my parents have been trying to keep an eye on it.
That all depends on when you guys complete all of your pre-departure forms that are on the BU Study Abroad application under pre-departure. They have green check marks next to them, just like your application did. You must complete all of those before you can be officially registered for the program. That registration triggers a block of, I think, 18 credits to appear on from the registrar's office, and that drives billing. They're all coded for programs. So until you complete all those forms, we can't push through registration.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we are just starting to post those things. So it could be possible that you've completed all those and it's still not live.
Mm-hmm.
We don't register students until probably mid-November, so
okay.
Just keep an eye on it. It's another good reason to get in touch with financial aid so that you know what's coming down the pipeline. That being said, payment happens exactly the same as it always does. The billing deadline is the same. It's December 16th for all of you and me and everyone. So there's that. I want to go over, so the things that are included in the program, which are hopefully obvious, are your housing and all of your food is included in the program, unless you go traveling on the weekends or something, and then while you're out, you're going to pay for your own food. And that carries over to any travel you're doing for the program as well. So when you're in Quito, breakfast and dinner is with your host families. They'll provide that for you, and then lunch you get a stipend for to have while you're out on campus. When you're traveling. Yeah. But it's, we'll go over sort of costs in Quito. You won't need a lot. But it will definitely cover lunch.
Is lunch something like, do they have like a dining hall or do you go somewhere?
They do not have a dining hall, but I'll get there in a second.
Okay.
It'll all become clear. But when you're traveling, food's still going to be provided wherever you are, whether that's on a boat or in Tiputini. So you'll be covered food-wise. It's just if you're traveling, you're eating out on your own or whatever. Airfare is included, again, unless you're doing something crazy and adding on time or whatever. And then medical insurance is included, as is emergency evacuation insurance, should you need that as well. So there's no need for you guys to be purchasing any international health insurance. We also will not waive the international health insurance, so I guess don't ask. This middle bar here is really confusing. That reflects the cost of the BU domestic medical insurance, that Aetna plan that you either waive or not waive at the beginning. If you've waived it, you can ignore that. If you've already purchased it, you can also ignore that. That just reflects the amount for that semester. The additional expenses are what we're going to talk about kind of next. So immunizations, you do need a few immunizations to go to Ecuador. I think that $600 fee is reflective of if your insurance doesn't, like if you had to pay out of pocket for every immunization. A lot's going to depend on your health insurance here in the States. Boston Medical Center does have a travel clinic, and we've talked with them. They're happy to partner with us, so you guys can take the BU shuttle there to their travel clinic and get any of the immunizations you need for the program, which I'll, again, go over in a second. So I'm going to send you guys out their information to the whole group since everyone needs to do it. And you can just make an appointment there. They'll talk with you about health insurance over the phone, make sure that you're covered there. And they also do extensive advising based on your actual health. So, you know, plan to spend a little time there, but they're super great. So that's helpful. Again, books are included. Local transportation, that's just the bus system, things like that in Quito. Your visa, it says $450, but it's $250. And then personal spending is really reflective of, again, personal travel, how much you eat out, how much you shop, all of that kind of stuff. $1,600 feels mid to high. Again, it really depends on how much extra travel you're doing and things like that. But things, you know, items in Quito aren't super expensive, so I don't imagine you'll be spending a ton of money. Okay, so I mentioned things aren't super expensive. Here's just a couple things, and there's more in the in-country guide for cost of life sort of comparisons. You'll take the bus every day to the USFQ when you go there. There's really one bus that goes from Quito to Cumbaya, which is the neighborhood that the USFQ is in. And that's about a 25-cent bus ride. It's like a half hour, 40 minutes. And then you'll have to take maybe another bus to that bus. So I would say a one-way ride is going to cost you somewhere between a quarter and 50 cents. Which is great.
Is that something where we like have a quarter every day, or do they have like passes or something like that?
I think you need change.
Every quarter, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. talk about that too. Again, lunch at the USFQ. So there's no dining hall, but there's lots of places right around the USFQ where you can eat, and most of them are going to offer like a fixed menu, huge lunch, since it's typically the biggest meal of the day, and that's going to range anywhere between like $2.50, $3 to about $5. So again, the small stipend really will cover you meal-wise.
And there is also a cafeteria at the university and an Italian restaurant that you can get pizza and spaghettis. And there is also another restaurant that they have a line where you pay probably $5.80 for a full meal. So they give you soup and second and a glass of juice.
Yeah, lunch is like a multi-course affair.
But prefer just to go around that you pay $2.85 for either an empanada or places.
Yeah, it depends on sort of what you want to do.
And she's not exaggerating about like a big meal for like really cheap. Like I got a soup and then like rice and like a full thing of chicken for like $3 plus like a drink for like $3, and it's like pretty amazing. There's like a mall as well that you can get, like there's like a Subway and Quiznos and but like go to these places and they're like, they might look like somewhat sketchy. They're kind of like, some of them are like in houses, but it's just like a restaurant separate to the, like this family's home, like they run out of their home, so they're really cool.
Lunch is often like a multi-course affair. Which is fun. You guys should do it. You're going to spend a lot more cash when you're there than you are going to use a credit card, way more. So I try and get comfortable with the fact you're always going to be carrying around cash and a lot of coins. So Ecuador uses the US dollar, which is great as far as the fact that you don't need to get used to other currency, but everything is going to cost a way smaller denomination. So having a 20 is going to be like having a $100 bill here. It's just going to be really inconvenient. But of course, that's what ATMs give you. So this can really be broken at like major places, supermarkets, places at the mall, things like that. But you wouldn't want to go into
like the lunch place
or like a bodega and ask for that. They just won't have the change to give you. what I would really recommend is that you bring somewhere between like $100 and $200 with you in cash, just so you don't have to worry about finding an ATM or anything in those first few days. But bring several rolls of quarters, because you're going to use a lot of quarters, and it's just easier to have them with you at the outset. Cab rides, so during the day they're on meters, and at night they're not, and you sort of pre-barter with your cab driver and settle on a price before you get in. Always settle on a price before you get in. But again, the distances that you're probably going are going to cost you no more than about $5. 10 will cover anything you need. The one thing I'll tell you guys is not to carry, I do this here in the States, but don't carry all of your accesses to money in one place on you all the time. It's not smart. So you wouldn't want to have your cash, all your credit cards, your debit card, your ID, all of those in one wallet all the time. That's asking for you to get pickpocketed and never have recourse to money again. So make sure that you have these things, a credit card, cash, a debit card that works with an ATM, all of those things, but don't always keep them all together. Leave some at home. You're also, I'm gonna skip over, you're gonna have fees from your bank internationally. You need to let them know that you're traveling closer to when you actually go, so I would say over Christmas break is the right time to talk to your bank, but really talk with them and figure out what your fees are gonna be for withdrawing cash and using your credit card or debit card while you're abroad. You're all going to incur them, and typically it's a flat fee for taking out cash. So the way to minimize that, obviously, is to take out more cash at once. When you do that, go right home with your cash and bring something with you that locks, whether that's a little box or your luggage or whatever, so that you can put that money in your luggage, lock it, and that's your little mini bank for a while. Because you really only need to take a max of, I'd say, $10 to $15 a day around with you. You just won't need more than that. And again, you're asking to be pickpocketed otherwise. I mentioned starter cash. Reputable ATMs. This will be gone over in orientation when you're there too. The ATMs at the USFQ are typically fine, and your host families will let you know which ones around your house are going to be fine as well. Basically, you want to avoid one of those card reader scams, so just make sure you're taking a look too that there's nothing attached to the readers or anything. Any questions about money? If you do not let your bank and credit card companies know you're traveling, they're absolutely going to shut down your bank account the first time.
Please don't bring travel checks.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if people still know those are a thing, but don't do them. Some parents still are traveler's checks. Mm-hmm. Don't bring those. Don't bring checks. You're not going to need them. Really, it's ATM, debit card, a credit card, and some starter cash. That's all you're going to need to bring money-wise. And quarters, all the quarters. If you aren't used to having a little change purse or something, you might want to bring that too, just because, again, you're going to be laden with a lot of coins.
I bought one in Ecuador and I still have it here.
Yeah.
And I don't ever use it here, but I still have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of those ID size ones are all you need, but yeah, it's shocking how many coins you use. Do any of you have ATM or PIN numbers that are over 4 digits? No? Okay. Machines won't take over 4 digits there. So I mentioned the bus and things, so hopefully all of you kind of know where Quito is on this map here situated, but that red outline is sort of Metro Quito. It's obviously big, but that yellow outline center is sort of the center of Quito, mostly where you guys are going to be living. And then, I don't know if you can see, but that little blue outlined area, sort of to the lower right, that's where the USFQ is in Cumbaya. So kind of where that big park is, Cumbaya is sort of your daily commute to get to the USFQ, and then you could be living anywhere sort of within that yellow zone. This is just a map of all the places you guys are probably going to be going in Ecuador. Obviously, the Galapagos aren't that close to the coast, but for the sake of fitting it all on a map, I broke map scales. But you're going to be obviously everywhere at the coast, the rainforest, up in the mountains. We'll see volcanoes. It'll be great.
About what time of day are we going to be taking the bus back and forth?
Morning and late afternoon, probably.
Okay.
That's a good point. You really shouldn't take the buses after dark. They're not super safe then. Your main safety concern really is going to be petty theft while you're there, and that's really why the buses aren't safe after dark. And you'll get used to some random stuff too. When you're on the bus, you're going to carry your backpack on your front, you're going to hug stuff, and you're just going to make really you know, sure that you are keeping track of all your stuff. No one takes their laptop to class, ever. I would recommend just leaving that at home with you. You want to minimize, basically, the stuff that could leave your person. The buses are good. You might be taking them sometimes during rush hour. They're probably going to be slightly packed, which, again, the hugging of the stuff.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I bought an Ecuadorian phone there, and it was stolen one of the last weeks I was there on a bus.
We'll talk about phones.
Yeah, and it was, like, dumb. It was, like, out of my pocket. But, yeah, always, like, I would always... And it's funny because we would come back, and we all came back to the U.S., and we would still do it. We'd hug our backpacks. We're like, why are we doing this? But, like, yeah, you'll get used to it. Even, like, if you're sitting down, like, kind of just hug it. Because, like, one of the girls in the group had her bag slashed. And it was, like, on her lap, but she wasn't, like, wrapped around it. And she was just, like, talking to someone and had her bag slashed. So, like...
You hold your backpack like a baby.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not common, but it happens. So, just be wary about it.
I say this, you don't need to be super fearful of your stuff and your safety, but you do need to just be aware that this is a thing that happens, and so the more aware of it you are, the more you can sort of prevent it.
And are all of us going to be, like, on the same bus, but we're all going to different places, right? So.
Well, you're all coming and going from different places, so ultimately the bus to the USFQ you'll all be on, maybe together, maybe not, depending on which one you catch. But you'll be taking that same route.
Yeah. It's kind of... You'll definitely be all taking the same... It's the same bus system that goes to, like, the main bus stop to Kumbaya, to the university. But there's, like, a lot of different buses that'll run in and out. So, like, if you happen to catch the same bus and it works out, it's good. Usually, like, the housing situations, just different students are kind of grouped together where, like, there's one or two students that are near you. And it's good to work in a system where you can kind of, like, meet up and take the bus together. And usually what ends up happening is, like, you all get on the bus at the same time. You're like, hey, you know, like, you all get there at the same time and stuff. But it's good to have, like, a little buddy system or a little group to go with as well.
And that's the same for if you guys go out at night and things like that. You're purposefully clustered together.
Yeah, especially at night.
Yeah, especially at night you should be going in groups. Good segue into housing then. So... Each student is going to live one student to one host family. I use family in quotes. It could be, a couple in their 60s. It could be a younger couple with kids. An extended family is common to have around the house, really common. Expect anything. Most of our host families have been working with us.
That's
for
a newer lady calling in Spain.
Yes, exactly. Older, middle-aged, single woman is pretty common. But again, most of these families have been working with us for a little while, and they're all vetted and interviewed and all that kind of stuff, so you should be in good hands. You should expect, however, that you'll be speaking Spanish with your host families. So that will probably be awkward for a lot of you at first, but you'll get used to it. And I think counterintuitively, the more you sort of lean into the Spanish, the easier it's going to get. I think... Just talking to returnees over the years, it's hardest, or the most, the hardest when you're scared of speaking, so you don't. It just prolongs that period of awkwardness. So lean into the Spanish as much as you can.
And families are really excited to talk to you, too. So, like, they love it when you, like, even if you, like, mess up, which I did a lot, you know, like, you can still, you know, just reach out and talk to them, and they're excited, and they'll help you as well.
Yeah.
So.
Trying to talk about transportation. You're all going to have a private bedroom. It should lock. You'll be sharing a bathroom, obviously, with the family, most likely. All the homes are going to have Wi-Fi. You're going to eat most of your meals there. You may or may not have access to the kitchen. Again, you probably won't need it very often, but if you do, for whatever reason, just make sure you're asking permission and that it's okay with your host family if you do use it. It depends. I mentioned extended families. There's some cultural quirks that are different in Ecuador here. Like, when I grew up with my parents, I, at the first chance, wanted to, like, book it out of there and never live with them again. In Ecuador, that's different. It's really common until you're married at any age to live with your parents. It's really common to have, you know, aunts, uncles, family, friends in and out all the time. Everybody's talking to each other. Everyone knows what's going on. There's, like, a little, you know, network there. It's really like the definition of a collectivist sort of society. So I'm sure you're going to meet the entire family when you're there, which is great. They'll all like you. But don't be surprised if that's the case. We talked about this mostly, but again, you're going to get an in-depth intro into, you know, taxis and bus systems and things like that when you get there, but just know that that's basically what you'll be using. There's also buses that you can take to other towns and things like that if you want to travel and they're reasonably nearby, and that's what a lot of students do because they're pretty cheap. The same rule applies: never put your stuff under the bus, always hug it. It's a good reason too, if you guys, when you're thinking about packing, I usually recommend bringing like a medium-sized like hiking backpack or something like that, or a duffel that's easy to have like on your body. Again, you guys are going to the rainforest and stuff like that, and a rolling suitcase is just not appropriate for those sorts of things. So usually a hiking backpack is the easiest thing to sort of procure. REI has a bajillion, if you're interested.
You mean like a backpack? No, like with the frame and everything? Or like
That's a great size. Mm-hmm. When I would travel, whether it be like for school or for like personal travel, I would like just take my normal school backpack and then like a 25 liter, like a normal kind of like little duffel. And that was absolutely plenty.
Yeah. I also would recommend if you can get one that's kind of water resistant, that's usually helpful too. You don't necessarily need a huge wireframe backpack, but it should be.
Yeah.
Let's see, not in Ecuador, but the last time I went to Mexico and I went backpacking, I have a 30 liter backpack, and that was plenty.
Yeah.
You're going to roll your stuff up in it. When you go to Tiputini, you might end up bringing something bigger, but again, the giant rolling suitcases are not always the most appropriate.
And it works if you want to have like a big backpack as well. One of the girls in the group brought like just her school backpack and like a backpacking backpack, so like a 70 liter or something, and brought all of her stuff for the entire semester in that. And so like you can do that, but it's like
we'll talk about packing too, but basically the moral is you're going to want to pack as light as humanly possible, which means you'll pack all your favorites, you will hate them and want to burn them by the end of the trip, but you'll wear them. You basically don't want to bring anything you're not going to use.
But I would recommend, like, leave a little bit of room as well, definitely, for things, like, you're going to want to get stuff there and bring it back.
Definitely.
So, leave some room. If you have to, like, pack, you know, an extra, like, bag or, like, a little bit larger bag, do that, or you can have some room to bring stuff back.
Exactly.
A lot back.
I posted a cute little video here. I'm not going to show it now because it'll take too long. It's, like, 10 minutes. But it's a really cool, super high-res video of all the things, all the like UNESCO heritage sites and things like that in Quito. I don't know if you guys have looked it up, but it's the first UNESCO heritage site ever. It's very cool. It's the first city that's ever been named that. And there's just a ton to do in Quito, too. So I really want to encourage you guys, while you're there, because you're going back and forth so much, make sure you're exploring Quito, too, because there's a ton of stuff to see there. There's huge parks, lots of, you know, sort of pickup sports you can do. You also have access to the USFQ clubs and societies, so if you want to figure out more like, you know, organized pickup soccer in the park or something, you should do it. But definitely try and get sort of involved in the city as well.
And it can be like somewhat of a personal challenge as well, because like you are traveling so much that you're like, you get home, you get back to Quito, and you're like really tired, and you're like, I just want to sleep in my room all day, you know, like, but go out, even if it's just like the park or like walking around with like some friends, you know, like with each other during the day, like it's really nice just going out and just seeing different things, different museums, different parks and things like that.
There were some girls a few semesters ago who told me they made a mission, they like paired up to go to every different place that served like hot chocolates to find the best ones and things like that. So you, I mean, you can sort of organize that however you want to, but you definitely should be out and about in Quito. It's a really, really cool city. I'm super jealous that you guys get to go there. So for my sake, you can come back and tell me all the awesome things you saw. I know. So I want to talk a little about culture, both in like a super broad sense and then in the senses that it's actually going to apply to you. But I think this is a super cool visual about culture. It lists the like sort of like horizontal ABCD. These are all different cultures. There's Latin American, African, you know, Eastern European, Muslim cultures, things like that, and how each of these 84 cultural characteristics sort of apply to those cultures. And when you start to read through these 84, some of them are obvious, right? Like greetings and food and language. And then there's some that are less obvious, like flamboyance and self-cultivation and, you know, theories on success or family or marriage. And those are some of the things that are not going to necessarily be in your travel guides, and the things that I think the longer you're in somewhere and you really live there, the more you're going to pick up on those things. So just be aware of them. Consider culture. I mean, part of studying abroad is getting to go and travel, but the other part is sort of absorbing this alternate sort of reality. And you brought up being a woman in a developing country and in Latin America. And that's exactly some of the things that I think you're going to notice, especially. Does everyone have an idea of the term machismo and what that means? Yeah, okay. So that's one of those things I think that women especially feel compared to here. It's still a patriarchy there, and not just in the way that, like, life's a patriarchy, but, you know, not in, like, the Hillary Clinton campaign situation, but really in the sense that men are still head of households and things like that, and I think you'll sort of feel those things. A lot of, I mean, I haven't lived in Ecuador, but I have a Latin American family and have been to a lot of places. And again, it's not uncommon to be whistled at on the street or hollered at or being told, you're so beautiful all the time. That's sort of a common piece of life. I think that's one of those things that American women find really strange. It's not meant in a hostile way or anything like that. It's just a piece of sort of how the culture goes. It's the same thing with dress. Women dress every day, jewelry, outfits, hair is done, lipsticks on, you know. You can wear whatever you want. You'll fit in fine. But that's just one of those pieces of culture where you'll walk around and you'll be like, okay, everyone is dressed like Sofia Vergara here. It's happening. It's just a piece of Latin American culture. You can join or not, but it's one of those things I think that you'll notice is pretty different from here. I feel like Ecuador hasn't caught on to, like, athleisure yet. It's still dressing up every day. My grandmother's Puerto Rican, which is obviously culturally different from Ecuador, but my example for this is she used to have a full drawer of lipstick. When you opened it, that was like her thing. You know, it didn't matter where she goes, she would like beeline for the lipstick drawer, and that was like her armor.
And shorts.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly, dressing. Like, shorts and skirts aren't something you're going to see a lot of women wearing in Ecuador. Men, you basically can wear whatever you normally wear. It literally doesn't matter. Again, the patriarchy.
But
I think you're not going to notice a lot of shorts. It's, I think you say it best, it's just still sort of a traditional society where, you know, most women are going to wear jeans and tops and sometimes heels, but, you know, flats and things like that. But you're not going to see a lot of shorts, and you're not going to see a lot of shorter skirts kind of above the knee or flip-flops, because one, they're either too casual or they show a lot of skin. And you can wear them, especially when you're at the beach or in Tibutini or on the coast. Hi.
Hello. Sorry,
I had a test. That's okay. This is Carla, everybody. She's also an alumni.
Hello.
But basically, you'll just attract a lot more attention to yourself than I think the hassle is worth. I'm talking about shorts. So bring them for when you're on the coast and you're at the beach and stuff like that. That's a totally normal place to wear them. It's just not super normal in Quito. You're also going to experience like all four seasons in a day there. So it's going to be like in the 40s in the morning and at night. And then it'll like warm up to like the 70s and 80s maybe during, I don't know, I feel like 80s is a little high, but the 70s. Every day, so you'll
at the school, it'll get up to the 80s.
So you're up really high in Quito, and then Cumbaya's in a valley, so you get, it has its own like hot microclimate, because all the hot air sort of sinks down there and is held in. Yeah, so you'll want to bring like a jacket everywhere and a fan or something, you know,
umbrella.
So you'll get used to it, but consider sort of those things. I mentioned this earlier too, but I want to bring it up because, and there's like a ton of infographics about this, but there's individualist societies, which the US is definitely one of. It's like something like 98% individualist. And then there's collectivist societies. So the differences are sort of in an individualist society, this individual is sort of the one thing that life circles around, right? It's all about self-actualization and your career and your lifetime education and things like that. It's very centered on you and what you want, what you need. Then collectivist societies, it's much more circled around the family and the collective and what's good for everybody and how your actions can help the whole. And you're going to feel that. It's going to be different. Again, the extended family coming in and out of your house. And, you know, everybody is buying, you know, gifts for their cousin's daughter's daughter kind of thing. That is, you know, there's that sense there too, which is great. I think it's a super fun and cultural experience for you guys to sort of go that and figure out what that means, especially because here it's just not a thing.
There's nothing like political correctness.
Oh no, there's no political correctness. Not in like the Donald Trump way, but more in the sense of like, it's not hostile. It's just, you know, people are gonna say sort of what they think.
Or we'll figure at it least out. They're gonna say your hair looks beautiful today, and
your hair looks beautiful today. Or
I like your jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know.
I don't need that ice cream because you're too fat.
Yes. Exactly.
That's on my mom.
Yeah, again. A good example, again, I'll use my family. My grandma's getting older, so I think her filter's loosening anyway. But I went home the other day and she said, "Oh, you're so white. I've never seen you so white. It's beautiful." And I was like, what? And she was like, "It's like you've never seen the sun." And this was a compliment from her, but I was like, oh, God. Don't say that to other people. Or I pierced my nose a few years ago, and she goes, "You used to be so beautiful before you did that." And she meant it in a loving way, but it's just, again, there's no sort of correctness filter. She was not worried about my feelings. But it's funny. Keep a sense of humor about those things, for sure. I think of all these sort of cultural shock coping mechanisms, if you can just be able to make fun of yourself a little bit and laugh off, because you're going to make any number of cultural faux pas, language faux pas, and that's fine. And you should expect them and sort of cherish them for the semester that you're abroad and don't take it super seriously. You should also not think that everyone's making fun of you maliciously. They're not. They're probably just making fun of you because it's different and it's fun. You're also, by the way, all going to stand out as foreigners immediately. So get used to that and embrace it. But yeah, there's going to be no pretending you're a local. Everyone's just going to know.
Some people will probably call you mi gringuito.
Exactly.
Mi gringuita.
Exactly. You're all gringos. It doesn't matter.
I don't know what it's going to be like.
Yeah. It'll be fine. So a couple really Ecuadorian cultural things, and you guys, please chime in. Greetings. It's not a handshake. It's a kiss. One side, or one kiss, or two kisses. One kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a one kiss greeting system. The concept of time. It's a fluid concept of time. And if you're one of those people that
Ryan,
runs,
you want to elaborate?
Oh man, it was perfect for me. I was late all the time, and it was great. But like, yeah, if you're kind of like used to more scheduled things, it's like classes are usually like pretty scheduled.
Yeah, classes and
classes,
trips
yeah.
are gonna happen when they happen.
Yeah, but like the rest of life is kind of like, well, you go like where you want, when you want, like
our
you
trips,
know.
Our trips,
no, no, the
yeah,
trips,
yeah.
Everything academic is on a schedule.
Right. Yeah, Marie almost left me running after the bus a couple times, but other than that, yeah, like it's pretty kind of fluid. And
it's
not,
just
something to get used to.
Yeah, it's not abnormal if you were like meeting an Ecuadorian person, you'd be like, "Let's meet for drinks at 8, and you got there at 8, and they got there at 10. That's a normal thing. So just, you know, again. If you're one of those people who has no chill like me, you're going to have to just, like, gain a little bit. Because, one, you're going to do lots of things wrong anyway. But, again, it's one of those places where just, you know, things happen when they happen. I think for Americans, a lot of time, like, administratively, that becomes challenging, too. So just, you know, have some patience. Do follow up if you need to. Ask for help from, you know, Maria and Jorge when you're there, and Veronica Costello and Kelly. But you're going to have a little bit of patience with time. A sense of privacy. I guess I mean that mostly with your host families. They're going to ask you, "Where are you going? Where are you going? Who did you go out with last night? Who's your friend? Did you come home on time? When are you going to be home? How do you like dinner?" And they're not babysitting you. That's just how they would treat anybody. Again, there's like this, I think of it as like the barking chain from the 101 Dalmatians. Everyone kind of knows everything. And I don't think they really give a crap whether or not you go out at night. I think they expect you to, but it's also maybe not uncommon if they wait up for you at night. So.
And they also clean your room. So
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
if you hide anything in your
yes.
drawer,
yeah.
Near the what is it, the side table, mm-hmm. they would call it Maria. Guess what I found? What? I don't want to hear about 3 bottles of
Whatever you drink. Don't worry about it.
And yeah, it's gonna happen. Like, I made my bed all the time. And it would come, I would come home and it would be remade.
Yeah.
So, would be
same.
Molded.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
and I think what is different there, in a sense, that is maybe not the same here. So I definitely never grew up with domestic help around the house. Like, we never had a cleaning lady. But it's really common for just middle-class Ecuadorians to have domestic help. And that's going to be the people who are probably doing your laundry and digging through your room to figure out if you have dirty laundry and reorganizing everything you have. So, again, that would never happen in America, really, but it's definitely going to happen there. And again, they're not, like, snooping through your things, really, but, you know, expect a little bit of that. The same goes for, like, dating culture. Have you guys heard of, like, the three Ds of living somewhere? Dating, driving, and drinking? So dating, like, you would never, like, bring home a boyfriend and, like, go to your room and hang out together. You would always hang out with, like, the whole family, you know? So it's that sort of sense of privacy bit. Again, collective, individual.
Yeah.
That's a no.
Yeah.
Then your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah. Or just your friends. yeah, there's, you know, everyone knows everything. I'm going to bring up the toilet paper thing because it's different than here. Not everywhere, but some places. A lot of toilets will not be able to handle toilet paper that's been used by you. So instead of flushing it, there'll be a little wastebasket right next to the toilet. If there's no little wastebasket next to the toilet, that indicates that you may flush the toilet paper. But just keep an eye out. It'll be weird for the first couple times you do it, and then you'll just get used to it.
And then you'll come back and do it here, and then you're like, wait, I don't have to do it.
You're like, oh, that was gross here. Also, a lot of public restrooms may not have toilet paper, so
they charge you for it.
They'll charge you for it. So some people got used.
And it's like 5 or 10 cents or something, but it's still,
it's like 25 cents to use the bathroom. But if you bring your own, like, toilet paper or, like, tissue paper, then it's only like 15 or something.
I had a student who told me that she got, like, a quart size bag and would just, like, stuff it with toilet paper because she never wanted to pay the 5 cents for toilet paper. So.
Well, I just always kept toilet paper in my backpack.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll figure out what you want to do, but that seems their bathroom culture is different there too. I do want to talk about drinking real quick because you guys are going to be at a ridiculous altitude when you get to Quito, and that's going to affect you in a lot of ways. It's really common to get headaches. You're going to be dehydrated. You're going to be sluggish. You're probably going to want to eat more and drink more water than you're used to, but you're going to have no tolerance to alcohol. So drinking one drink is going to feel like two. So for the love of God, pace yourselves those first few days while you're there.
Remind me of when I was telling them, one beer is like three.
It is.
Oh, it's very cheap to get drunk.
It is, yeah. You'll all be a cheap date, but, you know, look out for each other. Especially those first few days where you, like, you don't know where you are yet. Your Spanish may not be great. Like, keep your wits about you for a little while. You'll be fine, but that's something you should know. You'll all be legal to drink there, so I don't care what you do, but just don't be stupid. I will bring up, there's a zero tolerance drug policy for BU study abroad. If in fact you're found to have drugs, you'll just be sent home, and that really sucks, so don't do it. Regardless of how legal marijuana is in Massachusetts, not there. So health things, I guess that was a good sort of segue. Do some preventative healthcare stuff before you go. See your doctor here, have a physical, get renewed prescriptions for absolutely everything. Stock up on any over-the-counter stuff you really like, because it will be different there. We always recommend that you bring enough of whatever prescriptions you take for the entire time you're going to be in Ecuador, as long as you can. There's always a couple prescriptions that your insurance won't allow you to get a 4 or 5 month supply of, and if that's the case, you'll need to be re-prescribed in Ecuador, which is probably fine, but you'll need to have a paper prescription. So what you need to do when you see your doctor is re-up all your meds, get as many as you can, have them write a letter that lists all of the medications that you take, their generic sort of chemical names, and their dosages, and then have him actually, or her, give you paper prescriptions for each one, so if you do need to fill it for whatever reason while you're in Ecuador, you have a backup copy. Pretty easy.
Don't order anything from the U.S.
No, you shouldn't have anything ordered or mailed to you. It'll get stuck in customs.
It's hard. My dad tried to send me a package, and it took, like, I think he sent it, like, when we were leaving for the coast, and then like got there 2 months later after we got back from TPP.
Yeah, it's so, not like, it's not a workable option. And you will have wasted the money on it anyway, so just plan. Again, if you need to get re-prescribed, most of the medications that are allowed here are allowed there. In fact, some of them are over the counter. The health insurance you guys will use is called HTH Worldwide, and you'll be enrolled about somewhere between 2 weeks and a month before you go. And one of the things that are in the sort of portal you'll get access to is medication translations. So you can put in whatever the name of your medication is here, and it'll tell you whether or not it's available in Ecuador, how it's available, and what it's called. So you can just figure that out right away and just make sure everything's available.
Where is that?
It's on the HTH student portal. Yeah. Actually, I have admin access to it, so I can show you where it is, too. But it's a really helpful tool. I end up using it a lot for students here, too. So if you need help with it once you kind of log into that system, let me know. There'll be any number of medical facility differences while you're there. But you do have access to the USFQ Student Health Center.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it's really inexpensive. They have good hours. They also have mental and behavioral health care there, counseling. So the one thing I'll tell you is you should plan to pay up front for any of your medical care, and you can get reimbursed by HTH. Mm-hmm. So keep your receipts. The filing a claim process is not super hard. I would recommend familiarizing yourself with that little like student HTH portal before you go, so if you have any questions you can kind of figure it out before you go, because when you're sick is not the time you want to have to figure that stuff out. But by and large people figure it out just fine. If you're sick and you need help, please let someone know. Let your host parents know, let Maria Antonietta know, Kelly if you're out traveling. It's like, I'll be up front, I would say 90% of people we sent to Ecuador are going to have some sort of like gastrointestinal distress at some point. You don't drink the water out of the tap. Yeah, and you'll get a cold. There's different germs. You're going to feel gross at some point.
You didn't?
I don't think any of us got a cold, but we did.
Oh, that's good.
Get a variety of stomach.
Yeah, you're going to get some stomach bugs. That's pretty common. Please don't be embarrassed to speak up about it. It's better that you get medicated and feel better than it is to like hold it in and be really embarrassed because you happen to have diarrhea. Fun times
there. On the way to Tipitini.
It was like, it was two people like a 6 hour like trip total.
Yeah.
And like an hour of it, or like
throughout all of it, two other people were like dying.
Well, an hour and a half of it was on this like on a boat, and this guy was just like laying down in like an awful condition, and like the next day he was fine, but like you want to make sure.
It was a weird thing. The two people were literally like just like
no
chuchaki. No,
no
chuchaki.
No.
Anyway, yeah, well, there's that.
It's my favorite word.
But yeah, I mean, you guys are, the chances of you feeling gross are pretty high. You can do some like self-mitigation there too. Again, a lot of it's water. There's one, just different microbes that exist in different places. But most people don't drink tap water. You should be drinking bottled water or boiled water. Your host family is going to be totally up on that, and they're going to make sure you do it. But when you're out and about, make sure you're buying bottled water. You don't need to bring like iodine drops or anything, but bottled or boiled water. And the same thing with like eating street food. This is my favorite example. Like, my favorite place in Mexico is this, I don't even know the name, I call it Chicken Corner. It's on the corner. They do rotisserie chicken and potatoes, and it's unbelievable. But if you look hard enough, like, they were putting raw chicken on top and the cooked chicken's lower, and the drippings from the raw chicken were touching the cooking chicken and the potatoes. And so that's the kind of thing where you're like, oh, I want the potatoes from that side that the raw chicken hasn't touched. So it's that kind of thing when you're looking at foods, just be smart.
Common sense, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Common sense with that kind of stuff. Again, it's things you don't think about here and you usually don't have to, but you should there. Just, you know, keeping yourself healthy. Okay, I want to talk about immunizations for a second. So I mentioned the BMC Travel Clinic. You can all go there. You all must get yellow fever before you go. And I say this, so in past years, students have gotten it also while they're there in Quito. But there's a global shortage right now of yellow fever vaccines. And so there could be a really long wait while you're there. And the last thing you want to do is have to wait and maybe not be able to go to Tiputini with everyone else because you need it to enter there. So plan to get it when you're here. Again, BMC is aware of it, but there's a bunch of other travel clinics in Boston too, depending on your insurance. So
I
just
went
plan.
To Walgreens back home in December.
Yeah.
In between. So if Boston is not a viable option, you can always
do it when you're
at your hometown.
Yeah, exactly. I grew up in like super small town America, so if that's your case, do it here. Because otherwise someone will have to order it and it could take just as long. You probably should also talk to either your doctor or the travel clinic doctor about some other stuff as well. The things that the CDC recommends are cholera, typhoid, Hep A, rabies, and malaria. I would recommend that you all have some sort of anti-malarial situation. The thing is, if you get them, you got to take them, or they don't work. Otherwise, you cannot take them, but if you get malaria, then you then need to be treated then. So you have either option. You can either prevent it from happening, or you're going to have to treat it when you're actually really sick. It's when you're on the coast. And I'm going to talk about malaria and Zika in a second, so I'll explain the geography of it. But because you guys are spending a decent amount of time in wet places, there's a higher propensity for that. Rabies, there's a lot of street dogs and stuff like that, so it's really protective there. Again, it's kind of 6 in 1/2 dozen. You can get the rabies shots
it's
now.
It's more like we work with bats a lot, and it's really, really fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you should definitely get the rabies vaccine.
If you're bit there, then you have to get a terrible like shot to the stomach situation.
Yeah.
Just do it now.
So
it's better.
Another thing, too, is that, just to touch on the rabies vaccination really quick, is that I think there were only 2 people that were vaccinated before they got Tegeto, but the clinic actually had some really, like, they had good and actually much cheaper option for rabies vaccinations. And so
yeah,
for
it all
all
depends on your health
for all of us that wanted to work on bats, which was like everybody because it was awesome, do it. The clinic has a really good option for rabies vaccinations too. I think it was like $300 per vaccination here in the U.S. and it's like $27 there at the clinic. So like that's a really good option.
I think it's like
yeah.
$100 for the first one and then $27 for each.
Yeah.
It was really cheap.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot depends on your health insurance here too. So if you don't know, call your health insurance company. They're going to let you know all of the pricing situations. And again, I know most travel clinics are pretty aware of your insurance too, and they can do a little research for you too.
Do you know if all of these, like if we go to the travel clinic, can we be like, I need this,
yep,
and
they should have access
all
to all of them.
Ones?
Yep.
Yeah, you don't have to like make multiple
well,
appointments
sometimes,
for
like,
different ones.
So like rabies you need to do I think a couple different
three rounds. Yeah.
So you might
and
have to go back.
Yellow fevers they're like active. It's like the difference between the active vaccines and the other ones that you can't combine, so you gotta be careful about that because for some you have to leave like 3 months of difference between the active vaccines.
They're gonna tell you the timing for all of them, so again, I'm gonna, now that we've gone through all of the pre-departures for the 2 programs, I'm gonna send the full group the BMC info, so it's I think at least worth a phone call to figure out what time you need to go in there and how to time those things out.
Isn't it too late to get Hep A? The Hep A vaccination, because you have to wait like 6 months in between.
You should ask. Maybe not.
Well, it depends on if you got the first one already. Because some people, when they're younger or like a certain age, have already gotten. Like that was my case. I was like, oh. But then it turns out that I actually already had the first one, so I only had to get like a boost.
Same with me, but it just depends.
Yeah.
Again,
because I got the first one, but like 4 years ago.
But yeah,
it
works. Do you just
fine.
Get a boost and then that's fine?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So again, that's why I say talk
just
to them.
Yeah.
I am legally not allowed to give you medical advice, for I am not a medical practitioner. You need to ask a doctor. But yeah, the travel clinics, like 90% of your time spent there is going to be on advice being given, and they really are experts. So, use them. I'm going to give you guys a safe sex talk for 2 reasons. One, because culturally, it's going to be you who's going to be making that call. 2, Zika is sexually transmitted, so for the sake of you all there, you know, use a condom, guys. Okay, so Zika and malaria. So this is a, like, risk density map. Here's Ecuador. This band of white here where there's no risk is the Andes. You're up too high for the mosquitoes that carry malaria or Zika to survive there. These are the coastal regions you'd be at. They're red. That's your most likely place you'll get either of those things. And then Coca, which is like right over here, is sort of the town you get on before you go on the boat to the plane to the other thing to get to Tipitini. And so those are the places where there's going to be kind of like standing water and enough humidity where those things could happen to you.
Malaria Tipitini. Kelly likes to say that it's a 1% chance of getting malaria Tipitini.
Exactly. So there's a couple things you can do. For the time, what some students have done in the past is they've treated the clothes they're going to take to Tipitini with permethrin. It's a chemical that you can put in the wash with your clothes and it sort of coats them and protects them. You can do that. You can also just bring insect repellent, which I would highly recommend that you bring from here. It's super expensive there, so just bring the stuff. Make sure it has DEET in it.
Make sure you also get the DEET free, though, because you want to...
Yeah, you could have like both.
Yeah,
we were
so
part of the half that used the DEET free one.
That's kind of tropical ecology program specific.
Depends on where you are.
Yeah, especially in TPT, like... Not only is it going to repel the mosquitoes and insects that you want to repel, but it's a lot of times going to repel the large mammals and like birds and things that you're going to want to see. So
exactly,
kind of have a more natural one and also like that industrial DEET.
That's why the permethrin is great too, because it doesn't repel all of those animals, and you're going to want to cover up a lot when you're in Tubutini anyway. Your risk is lower there to begin with, so those are good options when you're there.
What other biting insects are there besides mosquitoes?
Are you scarred from bullet ants.
I was in Florida this summer, and the nose ants like literally killed me.
I mean, you're gonna have all the normal stuff.
Killer wasps.
Just
flies,
wasps. I mean, the kind of things that you're gonna have everywhere. It's a tropical place.
Yeah,
but like, cause I know
there could be noceums.
You're
just gonna get over it. You're gonna spray yourself down, and you're gonna cover up where you need to cover up. And
it doesn't work. Nothing works for me with noceums.
You know,
it'll happen.
Sucks
like people, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you about that, other than
you're
gonna have to figure out a way to deal. Bring some Benadryl.
When was it?
You can always get a full body net.
We went to Baños, and there's some animals in Baños that bite, but they itch off. It's like an awful itch, and it takes a couple weeks to just leave, and a few of us.
Yeah,
it's just
like.
We were
repelling. It's gonna happen. You know, I cover myself in mosquito repellent every day, 20 times a day, and I got like stung.
You could smell him from a mile away.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you kind of, when you're in there,
it's classic.
It's not gonna matter. Like, everyone gets bit. A guy stepped on a bullet ant. Like, it happens.
I've been that person who's gotten bit like halfway up my leg by fire ants.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna be in just a bug place.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you and what I do when I travel, because I'm one of those people who, like, if there's one mosquito in the room, they'll bite me 10 times and no one else, just bring some Benadryl and some cortisone cream.
And that's exactly
itching.
What I just wrote.
Benadryl
yeah.
and Cordate.
It's really helpful.
It's really all you can do. You
also,
can treat it topically.
It can save your, there's, like, caterpillars have funky effects on your body. Certain caterpillars, don't touch the caterpillar. But somebody once touched the caterpillar and their hands started turning black. And somebody else had some allergen, and it literally saved them.
I will say, if you guys have major allergies to anything that would require, like, an EpiPen, make sure you're bringing plenty of that kind of medication. Really, anything like that you need.
Manny.
It's important, especially if you have things like food allergies. Because, again, we didn't talk about this, and I do want to backtrack for just a second in a health sense. Is anyone here vegetarian or vegan or has dietary restrictions?
I don't eat any seafood.
Okay, that's going to be fine.
Yeah. I'm allergic to shellfish.
You're vegetarian?
That's going to be fun at the Coast Guard.
Vegetarian's going to be fine.
I don't care if I eat meat.
Okay. So I think being flexible is the best option. Yeah, and there's host families that are going to be fine with you being vegetarian. What's going to happen is you guys are going to go out in the world.
We are very impressed that Manny managed to survive. Manny is allergic to everything. Eggs, shellfish, just everything.
Yeah.
And he managed to survive. He's a picky eater on top of that. So he managed to survive the coast.
Yeah.
Which he literally lost like 30 pounds the entire trip. But he managed to survive.
Yeah.
What I'll say about food there and food culture there. So the way dietary restrictions are well known and asked about here, and people care about whether or not you drink almond milk or not, I guarantee not one person is going to care while you're in Ecuador. It's just not part of the cultural milieu. So if you do have an allergy or you have some sort of restrictions like being vegetarian, you're going to have to sort of self-monitor and make sure and ask in lots of ways, like, I'm allergic to nuts. But not to say, does this have nuts? It's going to be like, does it have almonds? Does it have cashews? Does it have peanuts? Does it have seeds? Does it have sunflower seeds? You're going to want to make sure that you're being picky. If you don't eat pork, that's going to be hard too.
Careful with the chocolate, because a lot of the chocolate that they use is Nutella, and that has nuts.
Yeah.
And you ask if it has nuts, and they'll tell you no, but then if you ask if it's Nutella, they'll tell you it's Nutella. So then.
Right, so you just want to be really specific. For vegetarians, I'll be honest, you're going to have a starch-forward diet. A lot of the meals there are going to be like meats and rice and potatoes, which is great for people who love carbs like me, but... you know, you're going to have to seek protein in other ways. But you'll all be fine, I promise. But yeah, it's a different estimation on sort of the dietary restriction front.
And Tipputini is really, really good at dietary restrictions. It's really, really good. So.
The food's pretty good, too.
The food is fantastic.
Food is fantastic, actually. That was,
The Galapagos and
the food, like, on travel... times
it'll be good,
fantastic. Yeah,
I've never heard one complain about food when you guys are traveling.
Never.
So just backtracking a little bit to keep on the health track, mental health care, there's a couple things you can do. There's definitely counselors and therapists. They speak Spanish and English, so you'll be fine there. If you're married to your therapist here, not literally, obviously.
I thought you meant
no, that would be really strange. It would probably break a lot of codes. But if you really like your therapist here, your counselor, and you want to keep using them, some will offer to like Skype with you. Consider that that's not legal in every state, so just ask. Behavioral medicine here will. But you can also just, you know, have a counselor there. What I want to caution you all on is that because you're going to go to a place you don't know, it's going to have a language barrier with different food and a different schedule, and you're going to be traveling a lot, it just causes stress that you might not have thought about. So I would just have a little, you know, self-think about how you deal with stress and what you do to sort of mitigate it. And then try and keep those habits up when
you're
there.
Are you all going to the TV program?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of free time. Don't worry about stressing.
I mean more about the stress of, like, change.
No, I mean the stress of change is it is going to happen, but again, you have a lot of free time to sort of...
sort it out.
Yeah. I don't say deal with it, because that just sounds awful, but to do things that are good for you to try and cope.
Yeah, exactly.
We played a lot at the park. We did a lot of just being outside kind of thing. So if that's your thing, then you should definitely organize other people. But you also have a lot of time to just chill and watch Netflix. Pretty sure all of us binge watch so much Netflix.
It's what you do. Your VPN will help. But yeah, the point is, if you're a runner here, make sure you're a runner in keto. If you journal here, make sure you journal there. Whatever it is that helps you like keep some semblance of your schedule going, just make sure you do it.
Be better
but
for
if
you.
You're a runner here, like, ease into running there.
The altitude is going to be a thing. Yeah, athletics in general, the altitude is going to be
just
rough.
Yeah, like, it's not a problem, like, just give it some time, work your way up. Like, we all play soccer, frisbee, whatever, but, like, work your way up to it.
Does anyone have questions about the international health insurance? I feel like I've really covered it already. You're going to get a whole, like, here is your health insurance email, indicating that you've been enrolled and things like that. So if anyone has questions about like the nitty-gritty details of it, let me know. But are there any like broad questions about health insurance? Okay. Again, can't waive it. In case your parents ask, because a lot of parents do, you do have emergency evacuation insurance involved. So should there ever be a natural disaster event or a political event, God forbid, where you need to be extracted from Ecuador, you're covered for that. There's a team that will come in and extract you. Basically, regardless
like
of your
citizenship.
Well, you might, who knows?
Just wants to be distracted.
Anyway, you're covered for that for, I think, a ridiculous amount of
time.
Well, that happened
one
time we had an insurance company that you hired, it was called SOS.
Yeah.
And one of the things it says that whatever you are in that the case I was thinking of was to continue. And I had a student that she was so afraid of jungle. And
she
cried every night, I'm a city girl, I don't want to be here.
Anyway, moving on.
She was at Latin American study. And we also go to Tipputini.
Not for as long.
Go for 4 days. But so it's one day in, one day out, so it's 2 days. And she was crying and saying, are you sure because the SOS is supposed to send an helicopter to wherever you are and extract you from the jungle.
Expensive.
And I was, are you sure the helicopter is going to come and rescue you?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yes, my dear, it's gonna come. And I was thinking, where is the helicopter going to land?
They'll do
there's
it though.
There's a
well, but it's 2 hours away.
Yeah.
In any event, they're gonna come if it arises.
I think I was Rambo, imagine me. They were dropping the rope and I was going to hug it. I said, yes, my dear, we are gonna do it.
Here's the thing, so it's not SOS. For the sake of transparency, is a company called Drum Cusack, but they are private security contractors, and they're going to come and get you if necessary. So don't, for whatever, parents ask a lot about this, don't have them purchase anything else. You've got way plenty of coverage through BU. It's a global plan. You have $100,000 of health insurance, and I think up to $1 million for emergency evacuation, mm-hmm. and you also have repatriation insurance, which will return your remains to the United States should that ever become. Anyway, you're covered for a lot of stuff. Parents, again, this is a question that comes up a lot from parents, so please just inform them that you have a lot of coverage.
Look, get your body back.
Yes, Mom, I am covered for that.
It comes.
You will,
I answer
you will get me back alive or dead, but yeah, I'm coming back.
I answer a lot more questions than you would imagine about these things. Again, so on that note, safety plans. I'm not going to go into this in detail because that's something you'll go over in context in Ecuador, but please understand that you do have, we have a whole workbook of emergency plans and meeting places and all these things given any sort of emergency situation, regardless of where you are in Ecuador. I would encourage you all, however, to enroll in the State Department's STEP program. You don't even have to be a U.S. citizen to do it, but basically the State Department will send you push notifications if there's anything that you need to be aware of in Ecuador. And you should also include anywhere that you're thinking about traveling in Latin America beyond that. So let's say you want to go to Peru or whatever, indicate that. They're going to send you information about it. We talked a lot about this already, so I'm going to kind of breeze through it, but if you guys have questions, let me know. What I want you to understand is that basically your safety is like 90% in your hands and then like 10% to chance. And again, the thing you're going to deal with the most is petty theft, so mitigate your own risk. And I'll give a couple examples. Like if you're in a restaurant, don't leave your phone on the table when you go to the bathroom. You're asking someone to steal it. Don't walk around with white headphones. You're indicating you have an Apple product and they're going to take it. Don't look at Google Maps when you're walking around necessarily. One, don't. But two, again, like doing this and not looking around you is not going to be helpful. So it's understanding awareness around you a lot more than you're probably thinking about that here. Once you've traveled to somewhere like this, you'll understand, you'll come back here. Every time I see a girl who has like her Longchamp bag flopped open on the floor of the T, I'm like, oh my God, all your stuff is about to disappear. And it doesn't here, but it does there. Hanging your bag on the back of a chair in a cafe, you'll have no more bag. Consider these things.
Bless that fush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, we talked about drinking responsibly, but just, again, consider you're somewhere where, especially if you don't have a great grasp on Spanish, not only may you not be aware of your surroundings, but you may not pick up on the same sort of like environmental cues that you would here. So just really try and be aware of what's going on around you. And do please pay attention to the news. Pay attention to the news here and know what's going on, but also pay attention to the Ecuadorian news so that you're, one, culturally aware of what's going on so you can relate to people. Because I guarantee the conversation of like, I'm an exchange student, will get you like, cool. And then you'll have nothing else to talk about. But just it's good to know what's going on around you. There will be any number of protests and demonstrations around. Again, do any of you feel like you have a grasp on Ecuadorian politics?
No.
Great. Okay. Choose not to participate in them in that case. So one, you're a foreigner, and that makes you a target to begin with. But it makes you more of a target sort of during a demonstration. It's just safer if you don't participate. I recommend sort of keeping a low profile. Not so low that you can't be your individual self, but you just don't want to draw excess attention to yourself that you don't already have to. And again, without trying, you're already an attention bringer.
Especially if you're a girl.
Especially if you're a girl. So again, I don't want to freak you out. You're not in like imminent danger, but you're just going to find more attention than you will ever hear. And it's a lot of things like, and this happens in other places too, like Italy or whatever, but you'll walk around and people will be like, your blonde hair, it's so beautiful, kind of thing. You'll be like, oh God, enough. But it's those are the things that are pretty common. Women, especially in places like bars and things like that, if someone buys you a drink, there's a lot more of a contract implied than there is here. So, you know, feel empowered to say no to things early and often. unless you're interested, in which case, cool. But, you know, understand that those, there's just different social contracts there. Keep people informed of what's going on. One, go out in groups, but if you do experience anything, whether that's your phone getting stolen or whatever, report those things. We can only help if we know. And keep track of each other. It's nice. Again, traveling around in groups. If you think someone is sick and they're not saying anything, let someone know. Just look out for each other as a group. You're going to be together a lot, so I think that'll just happen anyway, but...
Do you know that
Carla's been sick for 6 days and throwing up? It's good to know. If anything does happen seriously, or if you're aware of anything, and I'm talking again about anything from, you know, petty theft to sexual assault, please let someone know. There are both resources here on campus. There are resources for you in Quito. But again, no one can help if no one knows. You do not need to struggle with anything in silence. We do expect, by the way, that beyond reporting things, that you're going to be reachable at all times. We're aware that in Tiputini you are a lot less reachable. But as far as keeping your local phone both charged with battery as well as charged with minutes and the ability to take a text message, that's critical. Should there ever be any emergencies, we need to be able to get in touch with you quickly. We've talked so much about your belongings. That guy's not putting a wallet back in his pocket. I always think that's what it looks like. Carry only, going out at night's a good moment. Carry only your necessities. I would say carry just cash and probably just your Ecuadorian phone. Probably don't need anything more than that. You don't need like a giant bag filled with stuff with all your credit cards in it. Okay, so mobile phones. What you probably all should do is just get an Ecuadorian phone when you're there. The USFQ does provide SIM cards, but you'll still need to get like a little handset. You'll just get like a little burner phone for the time you're there and it'll be fine. And then what you can do is use your smartphone on airplane mode with Wi-Fi, and you'll still have access to like all your apps.
I think most of us opted for using our own smartphones.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Only a couple of people had the burner phones.
It just depends on what you want. Like I use what Sarah said. Got a burner phone for like $80 and use this SIM card provided.
Yep.
And I was totally fine.
I used an old phone that we had at my house.
Yeah.
One
of the things to note,
SIM cards.
Yeah, and you'll want to just keep track of this. Like a lot of the reason people will get second phones is if you unlock your iPhones or whatever, it might void the warranty on it. So it depends on how new it is, whether or not you want to do that. Just figure it out. If you do want to unlock your phone, make sure you do that like weeks before you leave, because for whatever reason, it takes phone carriers a long time to make that happen. What I don't want any of you to do is use whatever stupid AT&T or Verizon or whatever international plan. It's not going to work when you're there. It's going to be super expensive. And when you go to unlock your phone, they're going to be like, but we have an international plan that you can use. Just say no and move on with your life. You'll rack up a huge bill you don't need to.
Oh, and the plan that comes with the school is really, really good.
Yeah, it's
especially
pay as you go.
On WhatsApp, it's unlimited.
Yeah.
And we use that to communicate with each other a lot.
There's a data package involved there too, right? You get
yeah.
And you get if you have a smartphone, you can use the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's fine. Just use whatever the USFQ gives you. I don't want to embarrass myself or waste your time. Everyone is aware that you should be calling home with some sort of like WhatsApp, Viber, Facebook calling situation, right? You're all aware of like the apps to use for this kind of thing. Okay, if you're not, holler and I won't be embarrassed, but like it ages me pretty quickly when I start to talk about these things, so. If you don't know which app to do, just ask friends, they all know. What I will recommend is that download any app for your parents, show them how it works, show them how it sounds when you call. So that they're fully aware of how to get in touch with you at any time.
WhatsApp is a really, really good app.
Yeah, WhatsApp is awesome. I've had good luck with Viber. Facebook has VoIP calling as well over the internet. Skype, obviously. If you have an iPhone, FaceTime works great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's worth having maybe one more, though, like WhatsApp or Viber, just because you can make internet-based calls and texts as well. WhatsApp's great, too, because everyone uses it, so it's a really good user interface. Please make some sort of communication plan with your families. I'll fully admit, as a grown as adult, I still call my mom every other day. But like, if I did that and that was my normal amount of talking to my mom, I'd probably tell her, I'm going to call you once a week and hedge your bets on it. One, you're going to be traveling a lot and your schedule is going to be totally different and it's going to take a lot of adjustment. So make a conservative communication plan with your family, but whatever you do, whatever expectation you do set, make sure you can keep it up. So if you are going to be traveling with the program, make sure you're saying, okay, I'm traveling next week from here to here. I'm not going to be in good touch with you. Keep them up to date, because otherwise what they're going to do is call me, and I'm definitely not going to know where you are. That's very concerning to them. And they'll be in touch with Maria after that, and it'll just be, with each call and not getting in touch with you, they're going to freak out more, and it's not going to help. Please take some time. It's going to be linked in here to read this amazing Gawker article. This mom definitely hunted down her son and his girlfriend in Peru and used the Peruvian government to do so. I don't know how helicoptery your parents are, but it won't top this. But it's good reading. Who has traveled on a plane before? Cool. Who has traveled internationally before? Everyone. Awesome. Okay. So again, I will not insult your intelligence by going over this in great detail. Please, please confirm your flight for the day and the time and make plenty of time to get to your flight. An hour and a half before an international flight is not enough. You need at least two. For whatever reason, last year I had like a whole bunch of students who were like, yeah, we were going to show up like 45 minutes before the flight. That is not okay.
Also, are they flying to Houston again?
No.
Okay.
Fort Lauderdale. I had,
okay.
Yeah. It should raise alarm bells. Show up with enough time. Make sure you have your passport with you. Make sure you have your certificado de visación with you. You need those to enter the country. Don't forget them. I literally had a student last semester whose
mom... Don't forget your passport at home.
Don't forget your passport at home, which is what happened last semester, and we had a couple students arrive late, so...
Oh, God.
That's not a great way to start out your semester. It's very stressful.
Was it this semester or was it last semester?
This semester.
Oh, I was going to say, because who did this?
Wear your bigger things on the flight if you're worried about your suitcase being heavy. So
everyone
like,
wore their hiking boots on the plane.
Yeah.
But yeah... A problem for us was that a lot of people didn't realize that there were two airports in Houston. And then it was terrifying because you had to go from one airport to the other and make the group flight. So I guess just make sure that it's just one airport that you're flying into.
The one I'll caution you about is the flight is leaving from JFK and meeting in Fort Lauderdale. If you are connecting to JFK, it is an airport built to make you miss your flight. Plan, I would say, 3 hours between your flight, two at the least, because what you're going to have to do is leave the domestic terminal, get your bags back, get a new ticket, go through security again, and then make your flight. And that whole process just takes longer than you ever think it's going to. You guys know how to fly. I'm not going to deal with this. Make sure you're checking baggage and weight requirements. Do not go overweight. And again, like we said, leave some extra room in your luggage. Please drink lots of water and stay hydrated. It's going to help you with altitude when you get there. It's just also going to help you be a better person that next day when you're really tired.
We also got there at like 1 a.m.
You're going to get there at
like 7.
It was 2:30. It's
going to be a long night and a long day, and so take care of yourselves and try and sleep. Bring some melatonin on the flight.
Because the government changed the dates of when they started school. So
yeah, it was annoying.
Okay, so is that why they're starting like way earlier than we are?
They're just doing it for
probably,
they change every time.
I mentioned all this, I'm not going to repeat it. Some recommended items you guys should chime into. The very basics, you should make sure you're bringing like a beach towel and things like that for travel. You can
adventure
also buy one
pants.
When you get there.
Cannot stress how important the adventure pants are.
Do you guys know what I mean when I say adventure pants?
Like the cargo ones?
Yeah, like zip off
pants.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean necessarily that they can become short.
Like,
it's the material.
It's like the ripstop water
resistant. It's the ones that you can get at
dry.
REI.
Yeah.
Quick dry, everything is going to be great.
One thing too to kind of harp on is bring like all the clothing and like personal items you want to bring, like try to bring it from here. Don't expect to like buy clothing there, because it's like as cheap as food is there, clothing is way too expensive. So bring stuff from here.
Yeah, you'll bring a couple things, especially when you start talking about like high tech outdoorsy stuff.
Yeah,
all of that should come from here. So invest now.
I went to buy a rain jacket
after Christmas sales
before Tibutini. The rain jacket was like $300. And I just like quit. I was like, I'm not like the cheapest one I found was $300. I bought like
yeah.
Alex
the
bought
rain
a pair of
for my
adventure pants, like, and they were women's,
Because they were cheaper.
Yeah, so
all these things.
Yeah, I from the collection of attorneys I've talked to, definitely be bringing a couple pairs of adventure pants, a lot of quick dry stuff. Women, as far as sports bras go, the
one for each day.
One for each day.
They're gonna get nasty.
Yep. Nasty. Bring the ones again that are gonna dry the quickest. You know which ones those are. Less padding is better. Definitely rain jackets. Bring a fleece of some kind. That's gonna be helpful if it's cold. Stuff that you can mix and match. But again, you guys are going to be doing so much outdoorsy stuff that the more sort of like technical gear you can bring, the better. Some people recommend a headlamp.
We can talk about it.
Yeah. There's a expanded packing list on your hub pages mm-hmm. as well that includes everything from like raid-resistant notebooks to headlamps. You can decide what you want. But again, bring
headlamps.
As much as you can. Headlamps are useful.
How's
bring
the balance between like day-to-day clothes like for school and then like your traveling?
Well, for... Personally, for Tiputini, I legit had 8 outfits, and that's all I brought.
They have laundry
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, I had 3 pairs of pants, 2 adventure pants, and then a comfy kind of stretchy pants for being around camp, and then just t-shirts of different kinds, 1 sports bra for every day. So it's like for Tiputini, and then for the Galapagos and the coast, it's about the same thing, just basically 1 week worth of clothes. You're going to be in like shorts
it's like
and swimsuits basically your entire time. So if you want to bring like 2 swimming suits, so
that's what I'd recommend.
Yeah, so that you can change between
them. Yeah, you're going to want to pack light and strategically.
It varies based on how smelly and tolerant.
Don't be like him.
Do laundry. Do your laundry. Bring something to back up your work. I'd recommend like a USB drive or two, just in case.
But yeah, laundry at Tiputini is really good.
They have
it's
dryers.
Every week.
Yeah, they have
dryers. And make sure you bring also make sure the things that you bring there, because a lot of people bring cotton, but then they also dry it, so it can shrink. So just keep that in mind.
I would say the things that you're gonna bring for like on the coast in Tiputini, I wouldn't bring anything expensive with you. It's gonna get wet and dry a lot. Well, that's what I mean. But like don't bring a fancy t-shirt. Just bring a t-shirt, you know.
Yeah.
Do bring a small gift for your host family. It's just really nice. You're gonna be living with them for several months. It can be something little. My example is I'm from Maine and I bring like little stonewalled blueberry jellies because blueberries are a thing and it's an edible and it packs well. You know, something like that.
Yeah, I brought like California almonds and a calendar from California.
Yeah, just little.
Yeah. I brought San Diego stuff and then I also brought things from Mexico. Mexico.
Yeah, so you know, wherever you're from is going to be great. Just bring something that says something kind of about you and where you're from. All right, so some future communication. Oh god, it says April, May. Sorry, my brain is going. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of these. What you can. Just read November, December, but. We'll get a Facebook group going for everybody. You're going to get housing information about who your host family is from Maria Antonieta before you go. Look out for that.
Yeah.
Anything from the USFQ, be on high alert for. Try and not ignore those emails because a lot of them are time sensitive. Over the summer. God, I'm an idiot. Over the winter break. You're going to get arrival information from me, getting ready to go, last reminders. You're going to get reminders to bring all your visa stuff with
Do
you.
Do I also have an invitation for the View Ecuador Facebook group?
Yes, you may. I think I sent you one. Anyway, you'll get the international health insurance information, all that kind of stuff. Just keep an eye out. Basically, just keep an eye out on your email. I know when you ignore my stuff. I will hunt you down. Especially for the important things. Some stuff you just need to keep an eye on. So course registration, I guess, is coming up next Wednesday. Read over the emails. Be prepped.
Guys,
that.
Leave time for the swim test. Like, you do not want to underestimate because you're like, oh, I know how to swim. And then you go there and like, no, you don't pass. And then you're like, oh, my God.
Wait,
I need
really?
To swim test. It's not as easy as it looks.
What do you have to do?
You have to tread water and then swim a certain way for a certain distance. And then they make you hold your breath and float downwards, which is just counterintuitive, but... For like an entire minute.
So,
there's a fixed amount, and it's on the FedRec website, but it really depends on the lifeguard that's supervising it. They can literally make you do 3 things and be like, okay, you pass, or they can be really strict and then just
depends on who you
depends.
Get.
My swim test was
time for it.
My swim test was tread water for like 2 minutes, and then
which I couldn't do.
Yeah, and then. like, you have to dive into the pool, swim underwater for half a lap, then you come up, and you can swim normally however you want for, like, to the end, and then one full lap again, come back, and then you dead man float for a minute. But you can also breathe while you do the dead man float.
They're going to give you all the rules. The point is, the other thing is just getting to the pool is kind of a rigmarole. You have to deal with the locker room, you get wet, you get dry, you have to show. It's a whole thing. So just, you know, plan
ahead.
A little evening.
Yeah.
And leave at least two potential dates to do it, because if you don't pass it the first time, you want to have time to do it again.
Yep.
Before you leave.
Free swim opens at 6 p.m., y'all.
Six to nine.
Okay, so again, one more thing. Make sure you're doing those general pre-departure documents with the green check marks. That's what allows you to be registered. It's really important. You will get increasingly serious and panicked emails from our office, but not from me, so don't ignore them. Again, we went over the visas. Please get them in by Monday. If everything's good to go, I'm mailing them out Tuesday afternoon to the consulate. So I'll be in touch if things aren't okay, and we'll have a backup plan. But the idea is to get the bulk of them out Tuesday so that that's underway.
I have a visa question really quick.
Yeah.
So we get a prepaid envelope for the return stuff. Do you pay for postage down there?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I send them all as one big group, so... It's on
cool.
FedEx is on BU that time.
Nice. Wait, when I asked for the envelope to be prepaid, they like gave me the stamp to put on it and said that it
as long as it has tracking, I don't care.
Okay.
It just has to make it to your address.
Okay.
The biggest thing is, so for, I say prepaid, less for the postal service where it's always prepaid, mm-hmm. more for things like FedEx where they used to have those, you know, like carbon copy forms that you would put on the front, and it would say like pay upon receipt or something like that, and the consulate's not going to let that fly. So as long as you're literally paying for the postage at the time of purchase, you're going to be fine. The UPS store is pretty easygoing, so is FedEx. You can do them all online if you want. It's not a big deal. And I'm also going to take a quick peek at them and make sure you haven't done something stupid, like submit an actual regular envelope with a stamp on it, which someone tried to do last year. It doesn't fly. Has everyone interacted with the mail system in here?
No.
Kind of.
You mean like sent mail?
Like sent mail or gone to the post office and requested stuff or gone to FedEx or UPS?
To a small degree.
Yeah.
To a small degree? Okay. If you have questions about how this comes up every year.
Yeah, the door downstairs was locked. And I sent a message to let them in, to let me in, but nobody did. But then somebody left, and so I got in. So I don't know if somebody else is coming.
Probably not.
Couldn't get in. Okay.
Well, we'll find out.
Sorry.
It locks after a certain hour. I think it locks after like 5:30 or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point of the matter is, if you have questions about how to interact with the mail system, just give me a phone call. I'm happy to give you life advice on that. It's better that you ask me and I save you some time, as opposed to what doesn't work out great is if you bring all your stuff to like someone and be like, do this. They're going to be like, do what? So like, for instance, there is nothing called prepaid self-addressed return envelope. That's not like a product name. That's like a thing you need to do. So if you have questions about how to mail things, just let me know. I'm happy to help you. As is the front desk or whoever. We also give out like home ec life advice. Same thing with the money order that you guys get. There's a thing on the back for endorsing it. Do not sign the back of your money order. That will invalidate it. Do not sign the back. Don't do it.
I have a money order question.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm full of questions.
No, it's cool. I'm glad.
So when I got mine for the background check, I just like bought it at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
But on the website, it says it should be like made out to the Ecuadorian something.
Ecuadorian Consulate General.
Have an option to make it out to anyone when I bought it there.
What I would recommend...
I mean, I know I can get it at a post office or something.
Yeah, post office or a bank is what I would go for, mm-hmm. actually. They just tend to be a little bit easier, and there's fields for things like who to pay it to. It's also enough money, you guys, where you would want to have it from the post office or a bank, just because it's a lot of money. Make sure before you guys go that you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's. So student accounting services, financial aid, your academic advisor, clear up anything that would need to be done on campus before you go. Housing. Registration for coming back for the fall will be handled while you're there if you're in Quito, exactly the same as it would be here. You'll just be in touch with your advisor about getting your code over email. If you're in Tiputini during registration, we will register you for you, but you will need to be in touch with our office about that. So again, don't ignore the email. It's not from me.
A bunch of people were writing that email on the ride to Tiputini,
yeah,
which is not the greatest idea.
Think ahead. We're happy to do it for you, and there's a system for it. It's basically just for you guys. But don't wait until the last second.
And you'll get priority with all the classes. It's really nice.
It is. We don't do it for you if you're not into Puttini.
So Kelly says you can do it in Puttini, but...
You can't.
No.
You can't. We'll do it for you. But so just think ahead about a couple of these
not
things.
Even. There's like a 50-50 the internet just won't work.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, you know, think ahead about some of these things. If you need to have your advising appointment now before you go, do it. Other than that, I'm done with my spiel. I'm happy to stick around for questions, and they can be about anything.
No.
Yeah, that's on the way to Tipitini.
Can you pull up the picture of you and Manny?
Do you have any more questions? You had a lot of questions.
I'm not using this crazy. I want to be very prepared.
We're excited.
Yeah, how many questions? On the visa application, there's a box